Barbarian Tribes of Rome, the Anglo-Saxons, Anglo-Saxons literature. Now, pagan Anglo-Saxons didn't have an alphabet of their own that we know of. They were a pre-literate society, meaning they passed their knowledge on to their descendants by means of oral tradition. When Christianity came, literacy began to spread, but it was largely reserved for the higher classes, though it wasn't impossible for a churl or a farmer to know how to read. It was almost exclusively the royal family and the priests that could afford to learn how to read and write. Churches were the centers of the written word, though certain kings might have even hired private tutors for their children, who also came from the clergy. There's one major issue that when it comes to Christianity and literacy in early medieval England, namely, the priests who would preserve old Anglo-Saxon legends and myths would often dress them up in Christian undertones. That way, they could cloak the pagan elements and maintain a Christian narrative. Famous works such as Beowulf are a perfect example of this. Anglo-Saxons enjoyed both poetry and prose. In terms of poetry, there were heroic poems and epics, elegies, adaptations of classical Latin poems and riddles. The riddles in particular were exceptionally popular during the time, with 94 of them recorded in the Exeter Book, a lengthy compendium of Anglo-Saxon poetry. Christian poems became more and more popular within kingdoms, slowly abandoning paganism. So biblical paraphrases, lives of saints, and even original poems appeared, with the most famous example being The Dream of the Rood. In terms of epic poetry, Anglo-Saxon literature cannot be discussed without mentioning Beowulf. This epic, containing the exploits of the titular hero, was written down by an anonymous author sometime in the 10th century, though it was more than likely composed far earlier. Supernatural elements of Beowulf were explained away by adding Christian parallels, possibly by the very author who wrote it down, since it was usually priests who dabbled in preserving poetry and prose. Numerous authors worked on translating it, including the famous fantasy author J.R.R. Tolkien, who considered it a classic of English literature. Most poems were written down anonymously. However, we do know the names of a few poets, such as Cynwulf, Aldhelm, and Caedmon, the latter being known as the earliest English poet. Prose was then as important during the development of Anglo-Saxon kingdoms. Both Christian and secular prose was prominent, with translations of Latin works being notable at practice at the time. Priests and monks would often write polemics, sermons, hagiographies, and other works that had powerful Christian themes, though they would often be written in Latin rather than in Old English, at least in the early days of English Christianity. Two of the most famous prose writers of the Anglo-Saxon period in Britain were Gildas and the Venerable Bede. Gildas' polemic, known as De Exidio de Conquiste de Britannia, or The Ruin and Conquest of Britain, is the earliest source we have that gives us historical glimpses of Anglo-Saxon society at the time. However, Gildas himself would often provide contradictory or outright incorrect information, since the focus wasn't the historicity of the events, but rather the condemnation of the British in terms of Christian behavior. Bede, on the other hand, wrote his ecclesiastical history of the English people with somewhat more historical accuracy. Born in Northumbria, he would, of course, have a bias towards that region. However, the events he described, which largely focus on the history of the Christian churches in England, but also contained a lot of historical information on the early kingdoms and their political situations, can be retraced with a massive amount of accuracy. He is considered to be the first English historian, despite his work not having that intention originally. Of course, there are works that deal with history in a more secular way, such as the famed Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, compiled by an unknown author. It contains information on about 300 years of English history. While this is an impressive feat, the Chronicle suffers from the same issues that the other secular historical works do at the same time. Namely, most of its sources are dubious, or even outright taken from oral tradition, and some errors do occur in terms of dates and events. Some events were merely mentioned without an outcome or a listing of people involved. Battles would be described, but no place names given. Kings listed, or victors and losers announced. Despite all of this, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle remains an important part of Anglo-Saxon literary history. Secular written works of the Anglo-Saxons also dealt with mathematics, medicine, geography, language, and law. The legal texts in particular would be bound in single volumes, detailing law codes of different kings and specific cases of legal disputes in various cities and towns. All in all, English prose, much like poetry, flourished during this time, despite the fact it was limited to the upper classes. So, we've done pretty much everything there is to do in the culture. Now it's time to deal with the kings and other things. So what we'll be doing next time is beginning to look at the Anglo-Saxon kingdoms before they had kings, and then move on. Now the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Attila the Hun by Worrell, The Burgundians by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths by Burns, and The History of the Vandals by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.